950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. (952) 946-6205 is the phone number. We've, of course, obviously, there's a lot of people that are negotiating these bills over the state capitol, trying to get into a compromise before the special session rolls in here by the end of June. We've, you know, a lot of stuff is going on. We know about the stuff like the Environmental Committee with the clean cars. We've heard about Mary Kiffmeyer wanting to torpedo the Minnesota Historical Society for some reason. Numerous other things. I know the education bill is having some problems, but I've got a flash of bright light that came across. Jamie Beckerfin, representative from 42B, the mighty 42B up in the North Metro. She is kind enough today to join us to talk a little bit about some positive things that have been going on with the public safety and judiciary bill. She's kind enough to take some time with today to talk about that. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, always glad to join you.
Oh, I'm going to start with one thing, though. Saw your Twitter feed this morning. Nice strawberries. My gosh, was that painful. Those look beautiful. Where'd you find those?
I'm actually an avid suburban gardener.
Nice.
Up here in Roseville. So I've tried to provide as much food for my family as I can in my garden here.
Do you have room at the table for another member of the family? Because I love strawberries.
Depends on the time of year, but I'll keep you in mind.
Those look magnificent. Nicely done. They're obviously, when it comes to the public safety judiciary bill, this is a bill, obviously, the police reform is a major issue. It's something that's gathering a lot of headlines, especially here in the Twin Cities. But one of the points that I want to talk with you about is there's a lot of other elements to this, and it's a very thick, detailed bill that's just getting put through, a budget that's getting put forward here. And there are a lot of things, by what you were saying, there are a lot of things that you and the Democrats and the Republicans and the House and the Senate do agree on in this bill. Is that correct?
Well, for the most part, we've got nothing's really complete yet, but we have a lot of really good things that are some of them even grounded in equity that we've had bipartisan support in at least on the House side. We tend to have more committee hearings and hear more bills over on the House side. We keep ourselves a little bit busier, but. I do think that there is, hopefully, we can get some agreement on some of these things. Certainly, one of the interesting things about being judiciary chair is that, I'm in charge of making sure that we fund the entire third branch of government, in the judicial branch. So that's a really important piece, as well as, public defenders, which are constitutionally required that we fund those, in our state budget.
And it seems like, for the Republican side, there's the understanding we have to have that system working. And I mean, as you said, maybe not necessarily in ink with stamps yet, but for the most part, it sounds like a lot of that stuff. Has there been any major reforms that you've been working on within the funding of the judiciary or the public defender's offices?
Absolutely. So actually, the most important thing that it's been a long time coming, but we've made good progress this year, bipartisan support when we heard it in my committee, is a Representative Frazier bill reducing fines and fees and the impact that those have, especially on low income folks. So essentially, if you get a ticket and you have to deal with a criminal case, we kind of there's a lot of fees added on to things. And so what this bill would do would require the courts to sort of take into account whether a person can actually afford to pay those fines. Because what happens is that folks with lower incomes end up sort of, it's just this hole that they keep, that keeps being dug. You don't pay something and then, it collects interest and then, you get a ticket then for not paying it and it's just not a good system that we have that is not efficient. And so we have a bill that would reduce the impact of those fines and fees on everyday people.
The thing that's refreshing about hearing that is that, I'm in my 50s. I've seen how the crime bills have gone since the 80s. And it is almost an awakening by the right that these harsher penalties, penalties, these fines that get put on people that are an additional charge, basically, that end up keeping people almost in a debtor's prison situation, I think there's even an understanding on the right that that doesn't do us any good as a society, just to basically keep people locked up because they can't afford $500, which is gaining interest because of this. I think that that's a very good sign that there is some awakening, that just harsh penalties just don't work necessarily when it comes to dealing with people that have problems.
Right. And another piece of that is actually a bill that I'm chief authoring that is in the transportation discussion, but really closely related, is this idea of, as a penalty, taking away somebody's driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, tens of thousands of people in our state whose driver's licenses are taken away for reasons that are not related at all to public safety. It's a punishment. And what that ends up doing is it just creates more problems, and it doesn't help the system operate better, and it doesn't help the community function better when folks are kind of forced, especially if you need to get to work, especially in rural parts of the state, then you need to drive. And so that's another piece of that certainly there are not a lot of things that I agree with the Center for American Prosperity about, but we certainly have found a lot of common ground this year on issues like this, right? They don't have to be partisan issues.
And you're right. That is refreshing, that there is an understanding that, you know, you're just going out of your way to punish people. And especially, I like how you pointed out, it's like rural Minnesota as well. There's sometimes, I think, people like to just apply this to the metro areas and just say that's a metro area problem. But the reality is that if you live out in some town where you work 20 miles away, there is no bus a lot of time. There is no public transportation. And that's, you know, if you lose your driver's license, there's your job. And then, you know, it's a cascading effect of worse and worse problems.
Absolutely. And I, you know, people often forget, but, you know, I've lived in the, suburban Ramsey County for the last 15 years, but I grew up in rural Minnesota, and I know how that works. I know, I actually had a neighbor who lost his driver's license, and he would bike 20 miles into town each way to get to work. And, you know, obviously that's not a sustainable model for someone supporting their family. I've seen those problems firsthand.
Let's talk a little bit about criminal sexual conduct reform, because there was, and I'm not sure exactly what you guys have been dealing with on this in this the conference committee, but there was that ruling earlier this year that was from the Minnesota Supreme Court where, I mean, they you could tell they were exasperated. They didn't want to put out a new trial, but they realized that there are some flaws within how criminals get charged. Talk about how you guys, what are you guys addressing there in the conference committee on that criminal sexual conduct reform?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you asked about that issue. So the real story is that there have been a group of advocates and legislators who recognized that problem before in the current statute, before that Supreme Court case even came out. And so we already had solutions in the works when that case came down. And I think it's interesting, too, that, it was the chief author of the decision was Justice Thiessen, who knows as well as anybody how important the timing is with these things, and our ability to be nimble as a legislature is not necessarily something the legislature is always good at. But the important piece is that we did already have solutions. If folks are familiar, so essentially it was the case where, because the victim had chosen to have a couple drinks, all of a sudden the case gets thrown out. And obviously that isn't right, and we all can agree on that. And so we have sort of the fix to that problem, as well as updating a couple other pieces of the criminal sexual conduct statutes. And I really am hopeful. I mean, I think there's sort of, again, we don't have everything signed off on yet, you know, as part of a global deal, but I mean, there's an understanding in both the House and Senate, both Republican and DFL, that we have to do something about that. And so I very much expect to see that in the final deal, however we end up getting it done eventually.
Well, and I don't want names here, but I'm going to take a guess, especially on that one issue. There's I can't believe any Republican would be against it, because it's those weird arcane things that you almost kind of wonder how in the heck they even got into law in the first place. That, yeah, you try to weed out and you try to find, but I got to imagine even all the Republicans are like, yeah, that's not acceptable. We can't just use Jack Daniels as an excuse for someone to get raped.
Absolutely. And I mean, when that Minnesota Supreme Court decisions don't always get that much attention, but certainly when that decision came down, we were all hearing from our constituents across the board, and I think that really speaks to how important it is for folks to hear from their constituents. You know, whether you think they agree with you or not, it's really important to reach out and make sure. And I think that's another reason that this really is at the top of the list of things that we all know we have to get done this year.
I want to make sure I'm very respectful. You're in a conference committee right now. I do not want to jeopardize anyone. I don't want to make anyone upset because I know sometimes passions come on out here. But obviously, Representative, I'm going to – the one that's on the mind of most people in the Minneapolis-St. Paul, especially after this latest shooting that happened here, police reform – as a matter of fact, right before we talked on the air, I talked about how the cameras, they didn't have cameras on that U.S. Marshal action down in Uptown. And I'm like, how do you not have cameras on yourselves in Minneapolis? There is this frustration. It is still very palatable in town here. Yeah, as we get a lot of these things done, and I'm very glad we're getting a lot of things done. Can you give some sort of update at all in regards to where police reform stands? Is it something that there's going to be some real teeth to it, or is it something that it's just, you know, one of these things where on this issue the Republicans are digging their heels in and they're likely not going to compromise?
You know, so here's what I can tell you. Okay. I can, you know, obviously Chair Mariani has been our leader on that, and we all as the DFL House conferees are committed to getting the strongest provisions through that we can get through. You know, there is sort of this reality of having to deal with a Republican Senate. At the same time, I can tell you too that the House conferees have had really productive meetings with law enforcement. You know, despite sort of what the narrative looks like on Twitter and social media, and, you know, when people are putting out their videos and trying to spin things a certain way, the reality is that most of the items are totally reasonable. You know, they're all reasonable, but I mean, they're things that we can even agree are common sense things that just make sense. And I don't think, you know, when we actually have the conversations with law enforcement, those are good conversations. You know, for example, you know, there's different pieces like in the judiciary space is the U visas. So if you're familiar with U visas, it's essentially a way that certain victims of certain kinds of crimes who are foreign nationals can access a visa if they are cooperating in a criminal investigation, you know, testifying in court. You know, that's something that we had in our bill, was not heard in the Senate, but is supported, I mean, by the chiefs of police. It's something that law enforcement wants. You know, so even outside of sort of the issues that get the most attention regarding policing, there are other really important aspects that we're also working on. And it's definitely a both and situation. And I know, you know, that we all are fighting as hard as we can to get the best deal that we can, given the situation. You know, ultimately, until the makeup of the Minnesota Senate changes, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
But you know, we're up to that challenge, and you know, there's nothing that's been taken off the table yet.
So I'm going to ask you: is your committee, when we talk about your committee, you're the chair of the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee, is your committee working better than any other committee? I know that Sidney Jordan was talking about the legacy stuff, that the legacy bill, that they're working to, they're getting some agreement on this. Do you feel like your committee is actually functioning better than pretty much every other conference committee right now?
I would not go that far. Okay. You know, we have sort of the challenge of, you know, the committee makeup in the Senate and the committee makeup in the House don't completely line up. So we had to join our judiciary omnibus bill and our public safety omnibus bill into one bill that we are negotiating together with the Senate. And so that's a challenge because, you know, we've got, you know, sort of the same thing happens in like HHS and, you know, other areas where you've got multiple chairs that have to come together to try to work on something as a global deal. And so that's definitely a challenge, but I would not say that we're one of the highest functioning. During regular session, we're extremely high functioning committee for sure. But, you know, the rules change when you get to this part of session, or, you know, where we find ourselves now, or sort of the session that never ends. But I will say that I remain hopeful and committed to trying to get as much through as we can. And, you know, I've had conversations with the other side, and, you know, there's some hope. And, you know, so folks know, like, we're working. We're not just sitting around waiting for the deadline day to pass. We're continuing to meet with folks, meeting with law enforcement, meeting with victim advocates, and really, really committed to getting the work done and doing the best job that we can.
I always say it's the quality of people you have with Mariani and you. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think of any committee that's got two better representatives. And seriously, just fantastic. And I think that that's what makes competence and great leadership, because you guys care about the state. I'm glad you're there. One last thing. I've been following your environmental stuff on Bluestem Prairie, which has been covering a lot of stuff, the chronic wasting diseases, the turtles issues. I have loved how you educate. You are brilliant. If you want to understand a natural issue and you don't understand it, if you follow Bluestem Prairie, she's covering a lot of what's going on some of these committees, especially the environmental natural resources stuff. I love how you're educating as you go along.
Yeah, thank you. You know, as a Native woman and someone who grew up in rural Minnesota, you know, my perspective, and then, you know, as a progressive Democrat now living in the suburbs, you know, my perspective is often one that folks are not used to. For instance, I spent the weekend teaching riflery and sighting in guns with a summer camp up north that I've worked with for years. And so, you know, I think, and that's really the beauty of being part of our caucus, is that we really represent a really wide variety of folks with a wide variety of backgrounds, and happy to share that background and knowledge with folks in whatever committee I happen to be working on.
Well, and we're lucky to have you, because I'm hard pressed to think of many other representatives or senators, for that matter, who care as much about the people of the state of Minnesota as you do. We're lucky to have you, for sure. Representative Jamie Becker Finn, the chair of the House Judiciary, Finance and Civil Law. Anytime you want to come on my show, it's yours. By all means, Representative.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and you know, thanks for helping to educate folks about what's going on and what's at stake here.
I appreciate the time. Representative Jamie Becker Finn, if you're not following her on Twitter and Bluestem Prairie, you need to, or reading about her work on Bluestem Prairie, you should be there.